Alright. Well, welcome everybody. If everybody's watching it live or later, welcome. I'm going to go through a few preliminary notes here that we go through just for if there is any new believers. It's kind of like the sponsors you hear on radio brought to you by. That we kind of go through that and do that as well. Rotherham is what we use. A couple places it can be bought is a literal translation. Also, we use Telios Ministries for the backbone. There's so many articles in here. There's copies of the Word that you can download. There's all kinds of stuff to get somebody started for a beginner all the way through advanced. There's the address for it, and I'd be more than happy to give anybody any of the links or any of the copies of this if anybody did want. Also, Joshua Generation is one of the organizations we use. We do ask people to contribute it as a 501c3, and this is for helping people in Africa to build them up in the body of Christ and empower them. Okay, we're going to start off here with something that... It's kind of been on my heart here recently. And so who would like to give me a definition of peace and submission? But before you volunteer, know that I'm going to tell you what it is. So anybody want to guess or tell me what their interpretation of peace and submission is?
If you submit, you get peace.
That is true.
Maybe if peace and submission go together, like if you say, I want peace, then the other person might say it too.
They might.
It might.
That would be one for peace.
Reaction.
How about one for submission?
Surrender.
Very good. Very good. Okay, so let's do this. Let's break this down. Peace. So when we hear peace, we're hearing a state in which this is from Merriam-Webster. Okay, peace, a state in which there is no war fighting, an agreement to end a war, or a period of time when there is no war or fighting. Okay? In contrast, submission, to yield oneself to the authority or will of another, to surrender. That is the best definition of surrender. Okay? Surrender is submission for what the Merriam's dictionaries are saying. To permit oneself to be subjected to something, to defer to or consent to abide by the opinion or authority of another. Okay, the reason I bring this up is because too many times I'm hearing of people when we're talking about, and this is just a little thing I'm doing here just to kind of break this down. This is not the teaching here tonight. But with Islam and Christianity and the differences between them and what people say. And so this is it. We're going to go over just for a few slides here on the differences because I think it's very important. And it's important for us to be able to counter that when we hear some of these things to be able to say what it is and what it is not. Lesser educated Muslims sometimes claim that the root word of Islam is al-Salim, which means peace in Arabic. Okay? It is not. Okay? An Arabic word only has one root. The root word for Islam is al-Salam, which means submission or surrender. There is no disagreement about this among the Islamic scholars. Al-Salam does not mean the same thing as al-Salim, peace. Otherwise, they would be the same word. Submission and peace can be very different concepts, even if a form of peace is often brought about through forcing others into submission, just like you said. Okay. As a modern-day Islamic scholar... As Mark Levin would say, yabba dabba do, put it, jihad is not inhumane despite its necessary violence and bloodshed. It is the ultimate desire, its ultimate desire is peace, which is protected and enhanced by the rule of law. Submission. We will beat you into submission. Okay, mm-hmm. This is the difference between them. Okay, this is the difference between them. And so Islam is not peace. It has nothing to do with it. The word means submission. That's what the word means. Okay, so however you want to say it, if somebody says they're Islamic, it means to submit. You are requesting other people or demanding other people to submit. I'm going to go over a couple of these, and if anybody wants these afterwards, they can have these. I'd be more than happy to print them. These are straight from the Quran, okay, to debunk these myths about this peaceful religion. Let those fight in the cause of Allah who sell the life of this world for the hereafter. To him who fighteth in the cause of Allah, whether he is slain or gets victory, soon shall give him a reward of great value. Okay, the second portion of that. And why Should ye not fight in the cause of Allah, and to those who, being weak, are ill-treated and oppressed, men, women, children, whose cry is our Lord, rescue us from this town, whose people are oppressors and This is where they get people to go out and strap bombs. This is one of the quotes that they use. Because, well, your father died in the war, and now the children are oppressed by this whatever. And this is where it comes into it, where they use this. This is used a lot to get this to happen. In 8:12, remember the Lord inspired the angels with the message, I am with you, give firmness to the believers, I instill terror in the hearts of the unbelievers, smite ye above their necks and smite off all their fingertips off them. Okay, that's pretty peaceful. Next one, O apostle, rouse the believers to fight. O ye who believe, what is the matter with you, that when you are asked to go forth in the cause of Allah, you cling heavily to the earth? Do you prefer the life of this world to the hereafter? But little is the comfort of this life as compared with the hereafter. Unless you go forth, he will punish you with a grievous penalty and put others in your place, but him you would not harm in the least. For Allah hath power over all things. This is one of the other things here where you get the treasures, you get everything else by doing this and going out before. Therefore, listen not to the unbeliever, but strike against them with the utmost strenuous. Jihad. Uh-huh. Jihad. Okay? Does it say that if this is a holy war? It says to the unbeliever. To the unbeliever is authorized jihad. Okay? So this is not a religion of peace. Therefore, when ye meet the unbelievers in fight, smite at their necks at length when you have thoroughly subdued them, bind and bound firmly on them. Thereafter is a time for either generosity or ransom. I'm going to stop right here because our country in the founding went through this right here. Our sailors were taken prisoner, and they were held for ransom and bound tightly and held until the Marines came in and freed them. So this was something that they were doing. And it got to the point where our money that we generated, our GDP, was going, it was a huge portion of it was going to pay ransoms, okay? This was hundreds of years ago, okay? And where did that come from was right here, right out of their Quran. This is the same book, okay? I'm not going to read the rest of it. That's good. I just want to break this out. If anybody wants copies of those, there are pages upon pages of these that I put together so that if somebody says something about it, you can counterback with, well, does this say this? Okay, and so I do put those in there. But let's start off here to the teaching now, because that was just a little start off here I wanted to go over. It's been on my heart here for about the last week. I'm like going, I gotta kind of push this out so the believers speak the...
Aaron, I want to say something.
Go ahead.
Do you know what books those were taken from?
They were all marked in there. The Quran has no books. It's just chapter and verse is all.
Okay.
So it's if you want to look up, you can pull those up. I pulled every single one of those off the online Bible. You can put in there for the Quran, and you can search it. And you can search everything you want the same way you would search anything else. Okay. So you can type in something and then search it. Okay, and so I did, and then I went to a couple web pages to pull stuff off that were quotes as well, and I'm like going, okay, these are not from people who are going against it. These are people who are trying to push the submission, if you will.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So, anyways, 1 Samuel or 2 Samuel 5, and this is where we're going to start off here. We're taking a little bit of that has nothing to do with my teaching. It's just something I wanted to get out because it's so important. I think for people to be able to hear it and be able to counter it and know that this is counterfeit. This is not how it's supposed to be. So 5, and we're going to be 17 through 19. Okay, and I'll go ahead and read that. And you see there, Aaron talked about this a little bit in his teaching last week, which is perfect because this leads kind of into where I'm going to begin here tonight. And you see right above it there where it says the note 10 right above the verse 17, David twice assailed by the Philistines, twice defeats them. Starting in verse 17, and when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David to be king over Israel, then came up all the Philistines to seek to secure David, and David heard of it and went down into the citadel or the stronghold. Now the Philistines had come and had spread themselves out in the vale of Rephaim. So then David inquired of Yahweh, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into my hand? And Yahweh said unto David, go up, for I will surely deliver the Philistines into thy hand. Okay. David goes to pray about this as they're coming into him. Okay? One thing I want to point out, this is kind of neat, because as you do the geography, and I'll show you a picture here as well of this, the Rephaim, the Valley of the Rephaim, this is the Valley of the Giants, if you will. Okay? And so David had a lot of experience with this. Okay? But this is it. It comes from that. It's used a few places in there. There's a lot of other valleys that come out of this. The Valley of Hinnom comes from this. There's a few of the other ones here. This is what we're talking about. And this valley here, it's kind of hard to see, but down here on the graph, you can see there's about 10 miles here. So this valley is roughly about 10 miles. It goes from basically from Jerusalem to Bethlehem as you look at that. It's a pretty big area, and it comes down into a valley. Okay, there are mountains and stuff in and around, and so this is a valley area. This is just so you can kind of have a mind picture as we go. So first couple things. David inquires of Yahweh to go up against the Philistines. Yahweh says, go up. Okay, it's important. I think the words are important. Sometimes I think when we read it, we overlook the importance of how it's written. Go up. Okay. Shortly after, Philistines come up against David again. Now, question is, David was anointed king. David killed giants. David killed a bear by his hand. David killed a lion by his hands. David's got the gift. He's blessed by Yahweh. Mm-hmm. Do you go to Yahweh to pray again when they're coming up? They just attacked us, and Yahweh said, go up. Okay? And what is David doing? This is where it's a great example for us to say, what do I do? Because David could look back over all his history and think, because of what I've gone through, I am blessed of Yahweh. I say what we do. Okay?
Yeah.
And he did not. He went before Yahweh, and Yahweh told him. So we assume the battle went up against him, victories based on his previous battles, and that would be no. David understood the need to get Yahweh's direction. And so now go down to verse 23 and 24 of the same book. And can I get, Wendy, would you mind reading that, 23 and 24 for me, please? You can start in 22. 22 is fine.
And yet again did the Philistines come up, and they spread themselves out in the vale of Rephaim. So David inquired of Yahweh, and he said, thou shalt not go up. Get round behind them and come in unto them over against the mulberry trees. And it shall be, when thou shalt hear a sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, then shalt thou act with decision, for then will Yahweh have gone forth before thee to smite the host of the Philistines.
And that's it. And so when we look at this, a lot of times we get used to habitual things. This works, I do this works, I do this works. And when we come to Yahweh, Yahweh may say something different to us. No. Do not do it that way.
Yeah.
You do it this way. And so all of a sudden something happens and we're like going, what the heck just happened? I've always done it this way. It's always worked. Mm-hmm. You know, and so that's where it's a great example that we take from that and we go, okay, wait a second. I have to come before and check in and find out. Because there might be something else. You know, people come and say, well, why isn't Yahweh talking to me? And I'm like going, he's trying to. You're not listening. You're not coming before to hear. If you come before to hear and you have a heart that's open, that you will hear. And what you're asking for, he may be trying to tell you something completely different. If we preface it, Yahweh, if I'm supposed to have this new car, then, instead of saying, come before and say, what should I be doing? Should I be buying a car right now? Should I be saving for something else? I need a car, Yahweh. He knows that I need the car. But there might be something else that he's saying that he's trying to get to you, and then all of a sudden you do it, and something else happens. Well, why didn't you tell me, for crying out loud? Well, I tried. And so I kind of look at it this way. And as I was thinking about this, I had a kind of a brainstorm, an analogy that came with this. And so I think to myself of a person sitting out there, and I found a picture of a dead street. It kind of looks like Old Town Wichita before it was fixed. But a time to move and a time to wait. And that's what we're going to discuss here tonight. A woman comes out, and she sits out on the corner. And she's out there every day for 4, 5, 6 hours. And finally some guy had to come by and ask her, hey, what are you doing? Well, I'm waiting for the bus. And he's like, looks around, and the bus doesn't come this way. Well, I'm waiting for it. I'm going to patiently sit here and wait for the bus. And he goes, you want to get on the bus, right? Yes, I want to get on the bus. Well, the bus doesn't come here. But if you go a block over, in 30 minutes, there'll be a bus. Yes, but I'm going to wait here patiently. I'm not moving. I'm going to wait. The bus will come to me eventually. Okay? And this is my example of what too many times that Christians, to include myself, fall into this trap of, well, I'll wait on the Lord. I'll wait. Patiently, I will wait. And Yahweh's telling you, hey, dip, One block over. One block over and 30 minutes is your prayer. Get up and go. Go catch the bus. It will take you where you need to go. Well, then I'll have to leave here. Yes, you will. You will have to leave. Okay, now if Yahweh tells you, hey, the bus is coming out, it's making a new route and it'll be here, no problem. But if you're sitting here praying, I'm waiting for the bus. Yahweh, please send the bus. And he's like going, I do. Every half hour I send the bus. Okay, and this is where I look at it for us. We're missing it because we're not in correspondence. We're not paying attention. We're outside of it, and we're thinking it's going to come a different way than it might be coming. Move or wait. Good things come to those who wait. Who's heard that before?
Yep.
But not to those who wait too long. That's me adding that, by the way. Yeah. Okay. Not to those who wait too long. If you sit there on that corner 4 or 5 hours every day and the bus never comes, you miss the bus. Okay, and you missed it multiple times. So as I was thinking about this, it made me reflect to the pool at Bethesda with the guy. Now, it's kind of interesting because here's something for those that are watching, or a little clue. I'll throw it out, a little bomb here. When you go to John 5, 1 through 9, you're going to be missing a scripture. Ah, there you go. One of those verses from 1 to 9 is actually not there. It's been omitted. Okay? The whole story of that is to the pool with the first one that got in, when the pool was stirred, would get the healing. Okay? That was the whole story of it. And the guy, Christ comes through, and the one guy says, well, nobody's there to help me get in, and Christ gives him the healing. Well, he's thinking to himself, yeah, well, would you help me get in the pool? You know, and I did a teaching on that before. Just help me get in the pool. And he goes, well, I can give you the healing. Okay, I can give you the healing. This is the mentality, I think, where we get so fixated on how something's going to come that we completely miss it when Yahweh says, I'm delivering it. Go grab it. It's right there before you grasp. Okay, and we're going to see as we go through here, almost every single time in the Word, when Yahweh is delivering a promise, you go get it. You go get the promise. The promise does not come to you. The promise is made, and here it is. Go retrieve it. And I think about that even in the, you know, in Revelations when it says the land of milk and honey. And I thought to myself, golly, who wants to eat milk and honey all day? You know, but it's the point. You don't plant milk. You don't plant honey. You go gather it. Okay? You go get it. And so I'm like going, boy, in paradise, we're going to be working. We're going to go gather. We're going to go get things. And this is still going to be the same thing. It's the same way. And this is a promise that will be in abundance of everything that we go get. Okay, so the same thing. So pool Bethesda, the reason I bring that up is because of the fact that waiting on something, and going to miss something because you're waiting on it. I'm not saying that waiting can be important. I'm saying there's a time to move and a time to wait. And everybody's heard this, I'm just waiting on the Lord. Mm-hmm. I'm waiting on the Lord, okay? And that it makes me question sometimes, are you supposed to be waiting on? Are you supposed to be waiting on Yahweh? Could it be due to fear, doubt, not knowing your promises, or the risk of failure? And I think the risk of failure and not knowing your promises are two of the big things. Okay, that if I step out and do this, am I going to really get it? Am I going to get it? Or a person just being lazy? And we're going to see that in the Word as we go through this. Okay, and I love this here. Okay, flip over to Joshua back here a few pages. Joshua 18. Page 251 in the Rotherham Old Testament. 251, verses 1 through 5 of chapter 18. Then were gathered together all the assembly of the sons of Israel at Shiloh. And they set up there the tent of the meeting, the land having been subdued before them. But there remained among them sons of Israel to whom had not been apportioned their inheritance, 7 tribes. So Yehoshua, or Joshua, said unto the sons of Israel, how long will you be too slothful to enter in and take possession of the land which Yahweh, Elohim of your fathers, have given unto you? Verse 4, set forth for you 3 men from each tribe, that ye may send them, that they may arise and go up and down the land, and map it out as required for their inheritance, and come in unto me. So shall be apportioned it for themselves unto the 7 parts. And then for the next couple of chapters, it goes over how they break this down. Now, did they have to take this from people who were still inhabitants in there? And yes, there were people that were still there that had to be overtaken. Well, I don't want to go do that. We'll just wait. Yahweh, just take them away. Make them go away. Okay? I'm waiting for Yahweh to just move them, or they die of old age. Okay? Yahweh's waiting for them to move. It's been given to you. Here's your promise that you've been given this. This is the promised seed of Abraham. These people are descendants. This is given to them that they may go and possess. And yet, here we go. Why haven't you taken it? You haven't mapped it out. And why? Because I've been there before. I'm pretty comfortable right here. I'm pretty comfortable. But Yahweh said, this is your inheritance. Go take it. It's not just for you. So when I'm missing it, I say, well, I'm kind of comfortable. What about your descendants? Mm-hmm. Are they going to be comfortable? Are they going to have things taken from them because of your comfortableness, of you being too slothful? And so to me, I look at that and I'm like, well, okay, there's a job you have to do. The land's been given. It's to be taken. You will win. You will get it. But you have to go up and go take the action to take it. Again on here, I've done this before, but I do show this here. Joshua is the word you see right here. Joshua, it is Yahoshua, the same as Christ. Okay, and you see this in here. So when you hear me say that, or you hear it in our fellowships when we're referring to the book of Joshua as Yahoshua, this is why we do it, is because this is what the name is. It's the same name. So that you don't think I'm making things up or just ad-libbing things out here. Yahweh gave the land. They were Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. But it was their responsibility to do whatever it took in order to possess it and go take it. Claim what is your inheritance, or forfeit what was your inheritance and what your promise was. How long does it stay? You know, when people say, well, I'm waiting on Yahweh. I'm waiting on Yahweh. How long do you think Yahweh will wait when he's giving you the promises and you refuse to take them? When he's giving you an inheritance and it sits idle. Okay, and I found a pretty interesting story here on the internet that makes my point. This happened in Texas, and this was this last year. Okay, somebody won a $12 million lotto in Texas and never came and claimed it.
Wow.
It sat for 6 months, and then they returned it. It went back to the state of Texas because it did. And so you see the grocery store. It's kind of hard to see this, but they said, it's this you who won this, because the grocery store, you know, or the place that sells lottery ticket, they get a huge chunk when the lottery is made. And so they're trying to get people to come in. Claim your inheritance, for crying out loud. It's already paid for. It's bought.
Yeah.
You want it. You come collect and it's yours. And guess what? By you collecting, we get to collect too, because we sold it to you. We sold it to you. It didn't. Nobody ever did. And so it went, turned back over, got washed away, and the person lost $12 million. So my question is this. Are we the seed of Abraham? Galatians 3. Thank you. And if somebody would read that for me, we'll start off there in verses 13 and 14 there, please, of chapter 3.
I will. Christ, or Mashiach, hath redeemed us out of the curse of the law, having become in our behalf a curse, because it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree, in order that unto the nations the blessings of Abraham might come about in Yahushua Mashiach, in order that the promises of the Spirit we might receive through means of the faith.
That's awesome. Now, I want to point out a note here, okay? This is going back to one of my previous teachings there. Look at note L there in 13 and look down at the bottom, okay? Curses everyone that hangeth upon a tree, and it says, or that is suspended upon wood. Remember my teaching that the sacrificial burning within the temple, that it was built out of wood and it had the bronze over the top of it, and that is, you cannot do that.
Yeah.
I don't care how much bronze you put over it, it will get, first of all, it's not that thick, and it will get to the wood. And this is ceremonial. Why it's made out of wood? Because what it says, or that is suspended upon wood. Christ was suspended upon wood. This was a foreplay, if you will, for that. The sacrifice, the burning, that Christ would be that sacrifice, that last sacrifice suspended upon wood. Mm-hmm. Okay, and so that, I thought that was kind of a neat thing as I came across that. Okay, anyways, let's go to verse 28 now and 29 of the same chapter. And I will read these here. It's on the next page over. Verse 28. There cannot be Jew or Greek. There cannot be bond or free. There cannot be male or female. For all ye are one in Christ Jesus. Verse 29. Now, if ye are in Christ, by consequences ye are Abraham's seed, according to promise, heirs. Okay? And so what this is saying is, guess what? We just leap bound into his promise.
Yeah.
Through Christ. Mm-hmm. Through Christ, we just took on and became to where we have that. Now, if back in those days, if you were the seed of Abraham, you were somebody. Hey, yeah. This guy's seed of Abraham. He's got some special privileges from this. Okay, we do too. We do too. And we do because of Christ. And so that's 28, 29. I'm sorry, I just read those. That's what that is there. That's where he's showing this, that in 14, the blessings of Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Okay, and so as we look at this, the missing our inheritance. Why are we missing our inheritance? What makes us to where we say all these things have been out there? And if you ask a person in a corner, and they'd be like, "Yeah, you're right. Yeah, no, yeah." Okay, well, why aren't we getting it? Why am I not getting those? Why am I not living the fulfillment, that abundant life that Christ has said it's yours? You can have this and take it. Where people now, I think, are unfamiliar with their inheritance, or they don't feel like, well, it's not really for me. It might be for some other person, but it's not for me. I might not be worthy, or it might not be, you know, I'm not that faith, and only that faith can do it. Or that guy, he's really good at this task, and so he can give faith to somebody. He can heal somebody, but that's just not me. It's not me. And I'm like going, are you the seed of Abraham? Okay? Are you or not?
Yeah.
If you say no to that, well, okay. If you say yes to that, does that come with special privileges? Those French benefits that we all heard about? Not using authority that was bought for us. Waiting to have it delivered versus going and get it. And I think that's the biggest thing. Too many times, there are times where we do wait for something. Okay? And that's where a person is asking Yahweh, not saying, I need this, please have this. Yahweh, tell me how to get this. How do I get this? Not, I'm waiting for it. He knows you're waiting for it. Tell me what my step is. I'm ready to go. It's my step. I know you're ready to tell me the direction. You tell me, I step. And that's how we should be looking at it versus, well, I'll wait here until it comes around. Eventually it'll come around. And I think to myself, I kind of laugh now because these commercials there that I hear at night, you know, about farmersonly.com and stuff like that. I think to myself, these farmers back in the day, I'm like, well, how did you meet somebody else? You'd have to get together raising a barn or something? I'm like, well, there are ways to do this where they can do it. But it makes me laugh. I'm like, when somebody's like, going, hey, this will help out. And if people can meet this way, great. Bring it on. But at the same point, I think to myself, if you sat and you were in the middle of Nebraska, and yes, we here in Kansas, we do make fun of other states, even though our state rocks. But if you're in the middle of some place, and all of a sudden you're like, I'll wait here until this comes to me. Well, it's not going to come to you, possibly. He may be telling you, go get it. The same way, their inheritance, the promised land, was foretold. Promised land, they had to go get. Same thing for us. So you've got to get up and move. The wait is only if Yahweh is telling you to wait. If he's not telling you to wait, then get up and move. Step on it. Okay? Unwilling to fight for our inheritance. And that's a big one. Sometimes people don't want to go after that. It's too the comfortable thing. Not knowing what belongs to us. And in Hosea, I think this is kind of an important one. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge. When we render or surrender, submit ourselves to the bonds of the adversary, he will take them. He will gladly take them. And yet Christ came that we could beat those bonds and did beat those bonds. And so as we go through, I'm going to show you a couple things here. Our possessions are in Christ, waiting for us to rise up in faith and drive out every enemy of our promises and take possession of what belongs to us through the redemptive work via the only begotten of Yahweh, Christ Jesus. And that is our focus. That what stands in our way of those promises? What stands in our way of our inheritance? And those things are my roadblocks, and those things I will cast aside. I will cast aside. Now, if Yahweh says, "Well, there's a mountain in front of my way. I'll wait for Yahweh to move this mountain." Okay, Yahweh say, "Hey, you move the mountain.
Right.
You go around the mountain. You cross the mountain. You go over the mountain. We will get you across to the other side." Okay, one way or another. But if you sit and wait, you may be waiting and waiting and waiting. And then, well, I'm waiting on Yahweh, and Yahweh's going, "Yep," and I'm waiting on you. Okay, I'm waiting on you. And who's going to give first? Okay, I know who wins that one. The slander oppresses and keeps them in bondage because they do not know who they are in Christ. And you see this in the body of Christ, the church right now, that the people are enslaved because they do not know their authority. They don't know what their authority is. And when we try to tell them, or when somebody tries to exercise that authority, who the heck are you?
Yeah.
You know, Christ was called Beelzebub. Okay, so should we be shocked when we get called that for doing what he told us to do? No. But guess what? I am not going to hand over and surrender the reins to the slander. I'm not going to do it. Okay, and so that's where we try to help others break that as well, by education, by teaching people. The adversary knows if the believer ever finds out who they are and starts to fight, they will win because the adversary knows he is already defeated and finished by the finished work of Christ. Yeah. Not going to happen. Did happen. This is past tense. And so somebody says, "Boy, I can't wait for the promised land. I can't wait for that. I can't wait till spirits poured out upon everybody, Jews and Gentiles." And you're like going, "Well, where the heck have you been? Where have you been? This happened a long time ago. We are past that. We're past that. This has been done." Tries to convince us that there's nothing here worth fighting for. It is all a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. We'll get there when we die. In other words, well, my life is a suffering on earth, but when I get to heaven, everything will be great. I'm like going, all right, then you chose that path. You missed all your inheritance here on earth. An abundant life is life now that we're talking about, to give you abundant life. And so you missed it. You missed all those promises and all that inheritance. Yeah, you're going to be blessed. You're going to be blessed in paradise. Okay? You don't have to wait. You're not meant to go through and to be a complete struggle the whole time. You're going to go up against things because the slander is not going to lay down. Our inheritance came through us, through Christ's death, and he willed it to us, and it is for right here and right now. His death gave us a couple things. It gave us the Spirit now, that we exercise it, that we now are the body of Christ. We can go out there and swing the sword, cut it down. So, yes, we have that right here, and we have that right now. Yes, we also will be raised. We will be a gyro when Christ comes back. We will be raised. That is the second part, and what a wonderful blessing to know that's coming. But he also did this for now. Take this now, that you may go out and be my hands and feet, that you may do all I did more. Do you have a question?
No.
Oh, and then you have a question. I don't need money when I get to paradise. I need it now. Okay? I don't need healing when I get to paradise, but I do need it now. I don't need power over the adversary when I get to paradise, but I need it now. Okay? Christ knows this. Yahweh knows this. Who are we fooling? We are not subject to this. So when somebody throws down and says, well, I'm just waiting and it's just a miserable life, but everything will be new when I go to heaven. And you're like, yeah, when you get to paradise, you are right. But you don't have to go through that now. Get your car out of the mud and onto the street and start moving. Work towards it. Your inheritance. You are a promised seed. Start taking advantage of that and taking that hold. I know your promise is inheritance and seize it. Okay, we were already delivered from the power of darkness, translated in the kingdom of his dear son. And so I'm going to show you some scriptures. These are scriptures that a person needs to know to reaffirm or reassure themselves of exactly who I am and what I have and what authority I have that I can cast this out. Next one. We are already in the righteousness of Yahweh in Christ Jesus. I put this in there. I changed these a little bit, not to change the scriptures, but the content of it. All of these are, we are already. These are past tense. Yeah. None of these are future tense, meaning this is done. So when somebody says, hey, would you please give me this power that I may be able to speak your words, I can speak these things. Done. Okay, so when you come, if you came and asked for something, hey, can I have a new door on my, or can I have this, can I have something that you already have? It's here! I told you! It's at Lowe's waiting for you to go pick up, for crying out loud. It's been waiting! They're going to send it back if you don't come pick it up. Okay? Go use this! But this is it. All of these are past tense. Next one. We are already healed by his stripes. We have already been given power to tread on serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy. We are not under the reins of the adversary. The slander will tell you different, and he will use other people to tell you. And those people will normally be under the reins that tell you these things. We are already raised up together and seated together in the heavenlies. The question is not whether or not it belongs to you. The question is the same as was asked by Yehoshua. How long will you be too slothful to enter in, take possession of what Yahweh, Elohim of your fathers, have given unto you? It was paid for with Christ's blood. It belongs to you, but you will have to fight for it. And that's the difference between the move and the wait, is we're going to go fight for it. Now, if Yahweh tells me to wait, it's coming. Okay, he did tell that to people. Give me an example. He told it to the apostles. Okay? He told the apostles, wait, they're ready to go out and disperse. And he said, wait. That was directed. Yeah. That was a directed. But it was not wait for 6 years for this to take place. It was wait because it's about to happen. Okay? And so when Yahweh tells somebody, wait, it's about to happen, not a problem. But if you're waiting and waiting, well, I'm just waiting on you, I'm waiting on you, and you're standing in a line with no checker. Okay? You're standing behind something like, well, gee, I hope somebody comes and opens this line up. Okay, go get in the line that's open and get your purchase and take your possession and quit waiting and get moving. And that's what the whole point of this was. So that is it.
Oh.
Yes, I can make fun of myself as well. Sometimes people think that I just make fun of them, but I can do it.
Today?
No.
You do have the same shirt.
I do not. That's a big sweatshirt.
That's a green one. That's a blue one.
Okay. Anyways. I'm going to go ahead and close, and then we'll have a word for those that are watching. Excuse me. Yahweh, we thank you for the word that you give. We thank you for all the promises, the inheritance that has been paid for by people before us, by your Son. We thank you that we are able to take this authority, that we reclaim this and we renew this as almost as a cleaning of a house or cleaning off of something dusty, that we see the shine beneath it that is the original intent, that we are able to grab these things or to renew these things and reassign ourselves to using this authority, using this inheritance that we have, that we take a hold of this and that we walk out in faith and that we continually build up our faith and that we practice it. And as we fail, as we stumble, that you pick us up and almost as a parent laughing and joking, brushing off their child that has fallen down, that you do this for us, that as we walk together, as we learn to move in faith, that you are encouraging us and that you are giving us the words and the direction as we seek you out and walk in obedience. We thank you for that. We thank you for everything that we do have, that we are the body of your only begotten. And we thank you, Christ, for what you paid for us, that we go about doing the work, your work still, as you are alive today in our head, as the body that we are moving together. And as the body has, the head can do nothing without the hands and the feet, nor the hands and the feet without the head, and that we work together in unison for your enjoyment, for your betterment, and for the direction that you are calling us to do, and that we stay focused on this, that we cast aside the things that interrupt us or block us, or those fiery darts that are thrown upon us, that we quench those out and throw those off and deflect those things away and continue straight forward, that as these come, we like gird up even stronger, that we may be able to battle these things, that we show to the adversary that we are above, that we can cast out, that no power over the enemy will subdue us, and that we have authority over. And as we speak these things, that the adversary will hinder to these, that he will be subjected to these things because of what Christ did. We thank you for that and for the words that you have. We just speak this all in your Son's name, Christ Jesus. And so, my children, I see as almost a huge bed that is elevated above the ground, and it's lofty, and it's made almost as a paradise, as comfort for someone that is just in the pain and just really struggling. That the comfort is there. That I'm calling you to take these things. That I will give the guidance to you, and I will give you the mercy that I have for you. That I will give you the mind picture. And find the person. Go and seek out the words. Seek out the words that I have written in the book for you. And come before me first. And be on your knees that I may hear your voice. That I may be able to supplicate with you. That I can work through you. And come before me knowing that I can deliver these things. That first you must repent of the things you've done. That you must amend of the things that you've done. And start a new stone. Flip over those things. And remove those things that call you back. And that chain you down to the ground. That hold you away. Away from the things that I have given you and I have promised you. For these things will continually nag at you and be behind you and dragging behind you as weights. And I'm not calling you to break loose the fetters against the wall that are holding you. I'm calling you to break free all of the chains. Amen.